following program is intended for mature audiences.
They used to bounce messages across the earth.
Shows. Everyone in the old world had a show.
Do you think there's still somebody out there? Sending shows?
Who knows? Those are the planes of silence.
Savino Veritas, live from Burbank, California. Savino Veritas, live from Burbank, California.
Yeah. Here we are, March 2017, and Savino Veritas takes a plunge into investigative reporting itself.
We're especially glad you're with us now because we have a bit of a celebration to take care of.
In order to do that, the first thing I have to do is check to see if my phone recording equipment works. I always call Arclight Cinema to make sure that works. Let's listen.
Brilliant!
Thank you for calling Arclight Cinemas, Pasadena. Your call will be answered in the order in which it was received.
We have a big show for you tonight.
Thank you for calling Arclight Cinemas, Pasadena. We are experiencing high call volume at this time and may not immediately be available to answer your call. Please continue to hold.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is free, let me remind you. You pay nothing, okay?
Indeed, thank the phone you. Equipment is
I'll
working
continue
properly.
To hold, thanks.
Nice hold music.
It's never ending, your bullshit.
So I move on to calling Representative Nunez. Investigative recording takes a lot of waiting and busy signals. I'll try again. I'm determined to get to the bottom of this. Did Nunez give intelligence information to Trump before giving it to the Intelligence Committee?
If I may be so blunt, who gives a shit?
Or not even sharing it at all with the Intelligence Committee? These are the sounds of the investigative reporting. Hard-hitting investigative news at Savino Veritas.
I've fallen and I can't get up!
Sometimes we hit a wall, and sometimes a wall is not in Mexico.
Inconceivable!
Trying to reach Representative Nunez in California. I'll try again, a different office. Savino Veritas investigative reporting. Better luck this time. Let's see. Two ringy dingies. Three ringy dingies.
I don't think that's funny.
Four ringy dingies, ready to hang up. No, determined to get an answer.
You have reached the office of Congressman Devin Nunez. We apologize, but no one is available to take your call. To reach the congressman directly, please visit his website at www.nunez.house.gov. If you'd like to leave a message, please dial 0 and someone will return your call as soon as possible. Thank you.
Your call is being transferred.
I'm going to leave a message. Will they get back to me?
Please leave your name, telephone number, address, and the reason for your call. Thank you.
Good afternoon. This is Tom Savino from Savino Veritas Radio Show. And it's Wednesday afternoon. And I'm calling to confirm that reports I hear are true or untrue as to whether or not Representative Nunez actually went to the Trump administration with intelligence information he should have gone to the Intelligence Committee with. Is that true? We would like to know. 818. If I don't hear back from you, I will play this recorded message that you're unavailable. Thank you.
And thus we are playing the recorded message that he's unavailable. Nunez, not Nunez, Nunez. I stand corrected. Even journalists need to be corrected. Otherwise, it'd be flake news. Flake news. That should be like a Kellogg's thing.
You've reached the office of Congressman Devin Nunes. We apologize, but no one is available to take your call. To reach the congressman directly, please visit his website at www.nunes.house.gov. If you'd like to leave a message, please dial 0 and someone will return your call as soon as possible. Thank you.
You're welcome. Never deterred. I'm going to leave a message. Savino Veritas, hard-hitting journalist.
Your call is being transferred.
Investigative journalism at its best.
Please leave your name, telephone number, address, and the reason for your call. Thank you.
The Savino Veritas, we don't have a staff here.
Good afternoon. This is Tom Savino. I called the Visalia office and got the same recorded message. I'm calling now the Clovis office. I am with Savino Veritas Radio Show, and we are calling to confirm reports that Representative Nunez, intelligence information directly to Donald Trump's people, and maybe Donald Trump himself, instead of giving the information to the Intelligence Committee. Is that true? Please call me back.
I left my number out because
I am a constituent of Adam Schiff in Burbank, California. Thank you.
Aren't you embarrassed?
Well, little do we know. We're going to get any information. Then I called Adam Schiff's office to see if it's true. My own representative. Clear to the throat. Clear it
Hello,
again.
Hello, and thank you for calling the office of Congressman Devin Nunes.
You would need
if
three promotions to get to be an
Nunes
asshole.
Work in Congress or as chair of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, please press 1. If you're a resident of Tulare County, please press 2.
So I pressed 1, and it's Nunes. I didn't call Schiff yet. I will.
That a staff member was unable to take your call. Please leave your phone number and a brief message.
Investigative journalism could be pretty boring
when
at times.
When you finished,
was it as good for you as it was for me?
You can hang up or press 1 for more options.
But you're getting the nitty gritty.
Hello, my name is Tom Savino.
It is Tom
from,
Savino.
California. I'm calling for the Savino Veritas Radio Show.
That's what this is.
I've called Clovis. I've called Visalia. I'm calling to verify or confirm reports that Representative Nunez. Gave intelligence information to the Trump people and Trump campaign, the Trump administration today. Information that should have been given to the Intelligence Committee, at least before given to the Trump people, if it should have been given to the Trump people at all, who, as you might know, are being investigated for collusion.
It's no laughing matter, Savino.
And treason.
It's no laughing matter.
So, if this is true, I would love somebody to call back. 818-842-4189. Thank you.
Boy, investigative journalism is pretty boring at times. No wonder we make fake news. I'm not satisfied with anything.
You're not much of a bargain, you know. You're conceited and thoughtless and messy.
Good afternoon. My name is Tom Savino.
It is.
And I'm a constituent of Representative Schiff. And
so what?
Actually, I have a radio show called Savino Veritas.
So tell me you love me. Please. Tell me.
Which airs every week. It's on political issues.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, you betcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been trying to reach Representative Nunez's office.
Nunez.
You imbecile. You bloated idiot.
I was wondering if you could comment, if you could confirm that Nunez gave intelligence information to the Trump people this afternoon.
It's despicable.
You'd have to talk to our press secretary to get any kind of a quote like that.
Okay.
Hold on just a second.
Sure.
She's going to give me information. This is investigative. This is how it works. You get information.
Call our Washington, D.C. office and ask for Patrick Boland.
Patrick
B-O-L-A-N-D.
V as in Victor?
B as in boy, O-L-A-N-D.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
And the office phone number there is 202.
202.
225-4176.
4176. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye. And there it goes, friends. That's how investigative journalism works.
You're going to become a very dangerous place.
You heard it here first. Our first attempt at real, hard-hitting investigative journalism right here on Savino Veritas, live from Burbank, California.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. The White House continues to deny that the Attorney General's demand for the resignations of all 46 incumbent U.S. attorneys around the country and the subsequent optical disaster of the firing of New York's U.S. attorney, Preet Bharara, was instigated by a paranoid Sean Hannity TV segment demanding the immediate purge of everybody in the government who had worked for President Obama. The circumstantial evidence, however, supports the theory that it was Hannity's puppeteer hand up Trump's back. And that circumstantial evidence consists of the grim reality that we have elected President Emily Letella. If you are too young, she was the Saturday Night Live little old lady character portrayed by the late great Gilda Radner, who came on to give ludicrous editorial replies during weekend updates such as, "I'm here tonight to speak out against busting school children."
Weekend Update recognizes its obligation to present responsible opposing viewpoints to our editorials. Here to reply to a recent editorial is Miss Emily Letella.
I'm here tonight to speak out against busting school children. Busting school children is a terrible, terrible thing. I hear this is going on all over the country. Mean policemen arrest little children and put them in jail in the wrong neighborhoods so they can't even play with their little friends. Imagine busting school children. The food in jail isn't good, and even though they get bread, I don't believe they can get toast or nice cake. Now, who will tuck them in? Where will they hang their leggings? Where will they set up their little lemonade stands? Well, they don't have toys in jail, except maybe Tiny Tears dolls. And did you know they have little holes in their bottoms there, the Tiny Tears, and you can get... Where will they put their toys away?
Excuse me.
If they have toys...
Miss Letella?
Yes.
I'm sorry. The editorial was on busing school children. Busing. Busing.
Oh.
Not busing.
I'm sorry. Never mind.
What's all this fuss I keep hearing about saving Soviet jewelry?
Weekend Update recognizes its obligation to present responsible opposing viewpoints to our editorials. Here to reply to a recent editorial is Miss Emily Letella.
What's all this fuss I hear about saving Soviet jewelry? Now, what makes Soviet jewelry so special? Will it be worth more in a few years? Why, with prices the way they are today, all jewelry will be worth more. Now, if I recall correctly, Mrs. Khrushchev didn't wear very much jewelry, and her husband, the premier, didn't even wear a watch. Not a Mickey Mouse watch, anyway. Why, they wouldn't even let him into Disneyland. And now he's dead. Well, I'm infuriated. Save Soviet jewelry. Where are we going to put it? I say keep it over there with all of their ballet dancers. Them keep their own jewelry and their ballet dancers. As a matter of fact, why don't they get the ballet dancers to save the jewelry? Americans have more important things to save, like gas and electricity. And what about our fuel? Now that's important, not jewelry.
Miss Letella,
what?
It's jewelry, not jewelry.
It's what?
It's Soviet Jewry. The editorial was about Jewry, not jewelry.
Oh, well, that's very important.
Yes.
Never mind.
What's all this fuss I keep hearing about endangered feces? And they would correct her, and she'd say, that's very different, and then pause and say, never mind.
Weekend Update recognizes its obligation to present responsible opposing viewpoints to our editorials. Here with an editorial reply is Miss Emily Letella.
What's all this fuss I keep hearing about violins on television? Now, why don't parents want their children to see violins on television? Why, I thought the Leonard Bernstein concerts were just lovely. Now, if they only show violins after 10 o'clock at night, the little babies will all be asleep and they won't learn any music appreciation. Why, they'll end up wanting to play guitar and bongo drums and go to Africa and join these rock and roll outfits, and they won't drink milk. I say there should be more violins on television and less game shows. It's terrible the way things... What?
Mr. Teller, that was violence on television, not violins. Violence.
Oh, well, that's different.
Yes.
Never mind.
...122 vicious prisoners released by the Obama administration from Gitmo have returned to the battlefield. Just another terrible decision. Even the Fox News segment that President Emily Letella got that from did not mess that up. 113 of the prisoners were actually released by the Bush administration. Never mind. But Trump was watching, not listening. As in February, seemingly talking about terrorism in Europe. You look at what's happening last night in Sweden. Sweden! Who would believe this? Sweden! They took in large numbers.
You look at what's happening last night in Sweden. Sweden!
People in Sweden are confused by President Donald Trump's remarks that suggested a major incident went down there. During a rally in Florida on Saturday, he alluded to past terror attacks in Europe and added, look what's happening last night in Sweden. It wasn't clear what he was referring to as he continued, Sweden. Who would believe this? Sweden. That's my Trump. Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Katarina Axelsson said that the government wasn't aware of any terror-linked major incidents, and Sweden's security police said it had no reason to change the terror threat level. Of course, the comment got a huge reaction online Sunday with hundreds of tweets, including one from the president himself, clarifying the comment. He took to Twitter to say his statement was in reference to a Friday night Fox News interview with documentary filmmaker Ami Horowitz, who said refugees taken in by Sweden are raising the crime rate. My statement as to what's happening in Sweden, was in reference to a story that was broadcast on at Fox News concerning immigrants and Sweden. Trump spent President's Day morning continuing to tweet about the issue. The fake news media is trying to say that large-scale immigration in Sweden is working out just beautifully. Not. Sweden has a long reputation for welcoming refugees and migrants with a record 163,000 asylum applicants in 2015. The country has since cut back on the number it annually accepts. The Trump Sweden incident comes after Trump counselor Kellyanne Conway referred to a Bowling Green massacre that never occurred, and she was caught up in a public feud with CNN.
So what?
Yeah, we're gonna cut to SNL every time we mention Kellyanne Conway. All right, so fake news, real news, fake incidents, real confusion. What do you guys think of the president's comments? Be polite and kind, and let's talk politics in the comments below. For the Howard Reporter News, I'm Paul Gustavole. See you guys.
That was so off that it prompted the closest thing Trump has yet made to an admission that he's ever screwed anything up. My statement as to what's happening in Sweden was in reference to a story that was broadcast on Fox News concerning immigrants in Sweden. Others have suggested that Trump is a real-life equivalent of the Peter Sellers character, Chauncey Gardner, in the extraordinary movie Being There. Sellers portrayed a gardener who lived his entire life on the grounds of a rich man's mansion and understood only two things, gardening and television. Discovered, he is mistaken for a political savant and is soon consulting the president, who misunderstands the platitudes of TV that Sellers repeats as deep, subtle insight.
Yes, sir.
Ain't you the gentleman this morning? I'm gonna go now, Chance.
Yes.
you're going to need somebody. You ought to find yourself a lady, James. I guess it ought to be an old lady. You ain't going to do a young one any good. Not with that little thing of yours. You're always going to be a little boy, ain't you?
Have you seen his hands? They're like this. And you know what they say about men with small hands? You can't trust them.
Pardon me for intruding at a time like this, but were you very close to Max?
Are you kidding? We were inseparable.
Jogger's knee.
May I ask your name?
Chance.
Chance?
Chauncey
Gardner. Mr. Chauncey Gardner. Are you related to Basil and Perdita Gardner?
No, I'm not related to Basil and Perdita.
Oh, well, they are such a wonderful couple.
All right, may I call you Chauncey?
Chauncey's fine.
So then, what are your plans, Chauncey?
Well, I would like to work in your garden. As long as the roots are not severed, all is well. And all will be well in the garden.
In the garden?
Yes. In a garden, growth has its season. First comes spring and summer, but then we have fall and winter. And then we get spring and summer again.
Spring and summer?
Yes.
Then fall and winter?
Yes.
I think what our insightful young friend is saying is that we welcome the inevitable seasons of nature, but we're upset by the seasons of our economy.
Yes, there will be growth in the spring.
Well, Mr. Gardner, I must admit that is one of the most refreshing and optimistic statements I've heard in a very, very long time. Chauncey Gardner, Mr. Rand's close friend and advisor, was at the meeting this morning. I found Mr. Gardner to have a feeling for this country that we need more of. To quote Mr. Gardner, a most intuitive man, as long as the roots of industry remain firmly planted in the national soil, the economic prospects are undoubtedly sunny.
Oh. The president compared the economy of this country to a garden, and he stated that after a period of decline, a time of growth would naturally follow.
Yes, it is possible for everything to grow strong, and there is plenty of room for new trees and new flowers of all kinds.
So you're saying, Mr. Gardner, this is just another season in the garden, so to speak.
Yes, yes. A garden needs a lot of care and a lot of love. And if you give your garden a lot of love, things grow. But first, some things must wither. Some trees die.
Is that Gardner?
Fresh young saplings take their place.
No, he's a real gardener.
He does talk like one.
Become very beautiful.
But I think he's brilliant.
But Chauncey Gardner knew his television. He could recite all the commercials. He was listening. Trump is just as much of a television addict with just as little connection to non-television reality. But while he is ruling this country based largely on what he sees on TV, that reinforces what he already saw on TV or reinforces what he thinks he already saw on TV, he's not even paying attention to the TV. Since the inauguration, he has tweeted about a minimum of 11 news stories it seems fair to believe he saw on television and gotten them wrong in some way. Besides the Swedish and Gitmo stories, the Women's March protesters. Why didn't these people vote? The so-called carnage in Chicago. The so-called expert who could prove there were 3 million illegal votes, only the guy has never produced the evidence that he's promised. His conclusion that all the protesters in Berkeley were paid thugs, exaggerating the target of a terrorist attack in Paris from the Louvre Mall to the Louvre Museum. His announcement, although protests at the Republican town halls had been planned by liberals, that the first time Jeff Sessions ever met the Russian ambassador, it was arranged by Obama. About Arnold Schwarzenegger's departure from The Apprentice, and add to those the crazy Obama tapped my phone story. He's President Emily Letella.
Never mind.
Trump's first 279 non-deleted tweets as president are amazingly television-centric. There were two in which he congratulated himself on the TV ratings of his inauguration, 10 promoting the broadcasts of TV interviews he has given, including the exact time the show would air. There are 6 that specifically criticize CNN, 1 that criticizes MSNBC, and 24 that refer imprecisely to media, fake news, fake media, or fake news media, including one about how, after he called them all that and called them the enemy of the American people, quote, "It is amazing how rude they are." And the number of Trump tweets that include Fox graphics or images or congratulations to Fox News on its ratings or simple statements tagged at Fox and Friends as if he's grandpa yelling at the television, that's 12 tweets. This is a total of 54 tweets about TV or stuff he kinda saw on TV. I have invoked Saturday Night Live and the film being there, so why not one more?
Two, Q Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like at this moment to announce that I will be retiring from this program in 2 weeks' time because of poor ratings. Since this show was the only thing I had going for me in my life, I have decided to kill myself.
So what'd she say?
I'm going to blow my brains out right on this program a week from today.
10 seconds to commercial.
So tune in next Tuesday. That should give the public relations people a week to promote the show. We ought to get a hell of a rating out of that.
Roll Telecine.
50 share. Easy.
Take Telecine.
When you're having a great time...
Did you hear that?
What was that about?
Howard just said he was going to blow his brains out next Tuesday.
What are you talking about?
Didn't you hear him? He just said...
No.
Howard just said he was going to kill himself next Tuesday.
What do you mean Howard just said he was going to kill himself next Tuesday?
He was supposed to do a tag on Ron Nessen.
He said, "Tune in next Tuesday. I'm going to shoot myself."
What the hell's going on?
I don't know. He just said he was going to blow his brains out.
What the fuck's going on, Howard?
They want to know what the fuck is going on, Howard.
I can't hear you.
Turn the studio mic on.
We're back on in 11 seconds.
10 seconds.
32.
Howard, what the hell are you doing? Have you flipped or what?
I think we better get him off.
Get him off.
What's the matter with you fellas? Get your fucking hands off.
Turn the fucking sound off, you stupid son of a bitch. He's going out loud. Fucking trouble down here.
This is dumb. That's my fucking head you're grabbing.
Shut up! Gotta stand by this. This is my fucking dumb schmuck.
Lou, can't we clear out that downstairs lobby? There must be 100 people down.
How am I gonna
every
clear
every TV station and wire service in the city. I could barely get in.
Arthur,
anything litigable?
Okay. Okay.
Not so far.
Yeah, how many spots are wiped out?
Frank Hackett just walked in.
We had to abort the show. What else could we do?
Talking to Wheeler.
So far, over 900 fucking phone calls complaining about the power line.
Shit.
Come on, Mickey. What page are you putting it on?
Hackett just walked in.
ABC again. They want to
tell him to go fuck himself. And that goes for you too, Marty.
You're off the air as of now.
He wants to talk to you.
Who's replacing Wheeler?
They're flying Snowden up from...
All right, everybody, hold it. Let's see how the other networks handle this.
10 o'clock news open with it.
Good evening. Howard Beale, one of television...
They're all going to make it their lead story.
Howard Beale interrupted his network news program tonight to announce that he was going to kill himself.
An unusual thing happened at one of our sister networks, UBS, this evening.
How are we handling it?
Oh, Holloway's going to make a brief statement at the end of the show that Howard's been under great personal stress, etc.
Call you back, John. All right. We've got a stockholders meeting tomorrow at which we're going to announce the restructuring of management plan, and I don't want this grotesque incident to interfere with that. I'll suggest Mr. Ruddy open with a short statement, washing this whole thing off, And you, Max, you better have some answers for some of those nuts that always come to Stockholm.
Mr. Beale has been under great professional and personal strain.
And I've got some goddamn surprises for you too, Schumacher. I've had it up to here with your credit division and its annual $33 million deficit.
You keep your hands off my news division, Frank. We're responsible to corporate level, not you.
To Q Howard.
Good evening. Today is Wednesday, September the 24th, and this is my last broadcast. Yesterday, I announced on this program that I was going to commit public suicide. Admittedly, an act of madness. And for 33 years of shrill, shrieking fraud.
Mr. Hackett's trying to get through to you.
Tell Mr. Hackett to go fuck himself.
So I don't have any bullshit left. I just ran out of it, you see.
Killing this whole screwball angry prophet thing. Tonight we go back to straighten.
13, 12, 11.
Roll Max, VPN. Max, I'm 9, telling you, he's fine. He's been sharp all day. He's been funny as hell. Had everybody cracking up on the rundown meeting. I told him.
One.
Up. QBTA.
Ready to.
Cue announcer.
The UBS Evening News.
Ready to.
With Howard Beale.
Take two, Q-Howard.
Last night, I was awakened from a fitful sleep shortly after 2 o'clock in the morning by a shrill, sibilant, faceless voice.
I couldn't make it out at first in the dark bedroom. And I said, I'm sorry, you'll have to talk a little louder.
What do you want me to do?
Nothing.
And the voice said to me, I want you to tell the people the truth. Not an easy thing to do because the people don't want to know the truth. And I said, you're kidding. What the hell should I know about the truth? But the voice said to me, don't worry about the truth. I will put the words in your mouth. And I said, what is this, the burning bush? For God's sake, I'm not Moses. And the voice said to me, and I'm not God. What has that got to do with it? And the voice said to me, we're not talking about eternal truth or absolute truth or ultimate truth. We're talking about impermanent, transient, human truth. I don't expect you people to be capable of truth, but God damn it, at least you're capable of self-preservation. And I said, why me? And the voice said, because you're on television, dummy. You have 40 million Americans listening to you, and after the show you could have 50 million. For Pete's sake, I'm not asking you to walk the land in sackcloth and ashes preaching the Armageddon. You're on TV, man. So I thought about it for a moment. And then I said, okay.
Close the door, Harry. Howard, I'm taking you off the air. I think you're having a breakdown.
I'm imbued, Max. I'm imbued with some special spirit. It's not a religious feeling at all. It's a shocking eruption of great electrical energy. I feel vivid and flashing as if suddenly I'd been plugged into some great electromagnetic field. I feel connected to all living things, to flowers, birds, all the animals of the world, and even to some great unseen living force, what I think the Hindus call prana. It is not a breakdown. I've never felt more orderly in my life. It is a shattering and beautiful sensation. It is the exalted flow of the space-time continuum, save that it is spaceless and timeless and of such loveliness. I feel on the verge of some great ultimate truth. And you will not take me off the air for now or for any other spaceless time.
Oh, boy.
he okay?
He's just fainted.
Reality.
I don't know where he is.
That crazy son of a bitch Beale has caught on, so don't tell me you don't know where he is.
He should be jumping off a roof for all I know. The man is insane. He's not responsible for himself. He needs care and treatment. And all you grave robbers think about is that he's a hit.
You know, Max, it's just possible that he isn't insane. That he is, in fact, imbued with some special spirit.
My God, I'm supposed to be the romantic. You're supposed to be the hard-bitten realist.
All right. Now, Howard Beale obviously fills a void. The audience out there obviously wants a prophet, even a manufactured one, even if he's as mad as Moses. By tomorrow, he'll have a 50 share, maybe even a 60. Howard Beale is processed instant God, and right now, it looks like he may just go over bigger than Mary Tyler Moore.
I am not putting Howard back on the air.
It's not your show anymore, Max. It's mine.
I gave her the show, Schumacher. I'm putting the network news show under programming. I want you out of this building by noon. I'll call the security guards and have you thrown out if you're still here.
Well, let's say fuck you, Hackett.
How do you do, Mr. Beale?
I must make my witness.
Sure thing, Mr. Beale.
Oil ministers of the OPEC nations meeting in Vienna still haven't decided how much more to increase the price of oil next Wednesday.
Ready, VTA?
Yeah.
Iran and
okay, he came in the building about 5 minutes ago.
Well, VTA.
Tell Snowden when he comes in.
9,
Saudi
8,
Iranians are
7, get that ball?
They just
6,
bought a 10%.
5,
more
4,
on that story
3,
from
2, two
in Vienna.
1.
VTA.
This is Ed Fletcher in Vienna.
Take 2, Q Howard.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressmen because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window. Open it and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change.
How many stations does this go out?
You've
got
to get mad.
67.
You've got to say,
I know it goes to Louisville and Atlanta.
I'm not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chairs, open the window, stick your head out and yell and say, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Who are you talking to, Herb?
CGG, Atlanta.
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Herb?
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Ted?
But first, you've got to get mad! You've got to say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
They're yelling in Baton Rouge. God
damn it. Get up, get up, get up out of your chair!
Son of a bitch! We struck the mother lobe!
Stick your head out of the window, open it, and stick your head out and keep yelling and yell, I'm as mad as hell, I'm not going to take this anymore. Just get up from your chairs right now. Go to the
window.
Where
are you going?
Everybody,
I want to see if anybody's yelling.
Go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell and keep yelling, I'm
mad as hell! How am I going to take this anymore?
I'm mad as hell!
I'm not gonna take it anymore!
I'm mad as hell! I'm not gonna take it anymore!
I'm mad as hell!
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 I
You tell me you're a madman.
Only dizzled to relieve.
How are you now?
I'm as mad as a hatter.
Who is it? I'm going to take you into our conference room. Seems more seemly a setting for what I have to say to you. I started as a salesman, Mr. Beale. I sold sewing machines and automobile parts, hairbrushes and electronic equipment. They say I can sell anything. I'd like to try to sell something to you. Valhalla, Mr. Beale. Please sit down. You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, Mr. Beale, and I won't have it! Is that clear? Do you think you merely stopped a business deal? That is not the case. The Arabs have taken billions of dollars out of this country, and now they must put it back! It is ebb and flow, tidal gravity. It is ecological balance. You are an old man who thinks in terms of nations and peoples. There are no nations. There are no peoples. There are no Russians. There are no Arabs. There are no third worlds. There is no West. There is only one holistic system of systems. One vast and immane, interwoven, interacting, multivariate, multinational dominion of dollars. Petrodollars, electrodollars, multidollars, Reichmarks, rims, rubles, pounds, and shekels. It is the international system of currency which determines the totality of life on this planet. That is the natural order of things today. That is the atomic and subatomic and galactic structure of things today. And you have meddled with the primal forces of nature. And you will atone. Am I getting through to you, Mr. Beale? You get up on your little 21-inch screen and howl about America and democracy. There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT and AT&T and DuPont, Dow, Union Carbide, and Exxon. Those are the nations of the world today. What do you think the Russians talk about in their councils of state? Karl Marx? They get out their linear programming charts, statistical decision theories, min-max solutions, and compute the price-cost probabilities of their transactions and investments, just like we do. We no longer live in a world of nations and ideologies, Mr. Beale. The world is a college of corporations, inexorably determined by the immutable bylaws of business. The world is a business, Mr. Beale. It has been since man crawled out of the slime. And our children will live, Mr. Beale, to see that perfect world in which there's no war or famine, oppression or brutality. One vast and ecumenical holding company for whom all men will work to serve a common profit, in which all men will hold a share of stock, all necessities provided, all anxieties tranquilized, all boredom amused. And I have chosen you, Mr. Beale, to preach this evangel.
Why me?
Because you're on television, dummy. 60 million people watch you every night of the week, Monday through Friday.
I have seen the face of God.
You just might be right, Mr. Beale.
That evening, Howard Beale went on the air to preach the corporate cosmology of Arthur Jensen.
You people to stand up and fight for your heritage, and you did, and it was beautiful.
In the other great speech in the fantastic Paddy Chayefsky movie Network, Peter Finch as Howard Beale reminds us what television really is. When the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be peddled for truth on this network? So listen to me. Television is not the truth. We're in the boredom-killing business. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there, day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness. You maniacs, in God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusions. Sound like anybody we know? So is there a solution to President Emily Letella? I mean, before he is impeached, or imprisoned, or institutionalized. Well, years ago, an unhappy CEO whose fourth largest company in the world owned my television network sat me down and threatened to take the network off the air. I don't mean figuratively. I mean fire everybody at it, pay us our full contracts, and shut the channel off. Because a rival cable network was making up stories about how this CEO personally was selling materiel used to make weapons with which American servicemen were being killed. The man said his 80-something mother back in Cincinnati watched the rival network and kept calling him up to yell at him about his disloyalty, and he had had enough. So I said politely that I thought he was overreacting, and maybe there was a middle ground short of shuttering the network that was finally making him a reported $100 million a year in profit. And he said, like what? And I offered him a few ideas, and then I decided to point out to him how crazy his idea was, and I said it was exactly this crazy. How old did you say your mother was again? I asked. 80-whatever, he answered. Well, if she's that old, she certainly wouldn't be able to put up much of a fight if you sent one of your guys to her house and pulled her cable connection out of the wall. The CEO got furious, then he laughed, and then we compromised. But now I'm thinking, maybe this is the solution with Trump. Bannon and maybe a couple of Trump's rent-a-cops go in and pull all the goddamn cable out of the White House before this bastard kills us all. Because unlike Emily Letella, when Trump is told he has misunderstood something he heard on TV, he does not say, never mind. Resist. Peace.
Savino Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The Gripes of Rat.
It's the fabulous ski show.
All tied up, ready.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards.
Welcome to Savino. Good evening,
everyone. Hey, Steve. How are you?
JuicedTalk.com.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth. This is Artist D.
And Anne-Marie from Up All Night on 4 Culture Radio.
Have you got any wine, Anne-Marie?
I'm completely intoxicated.
We love to wine. We drink wine. We listen to Savino Veritas every week at JuiceTalk.com. Don't we love Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Once again, here's a segment of Frankincense. Al Franken really crushes Gorsuch.
I want to just go through the facts real quickly because I understand the reasoning behind your dissent, but I'm actually kind of puzzled by it as well. Alphonse Madden's a truck driver. He's made a stop off the interstate at 11 p.m. He comes back on, or he's about to come back on, notices his brakes are frozen on his trailer. Okay, so he decides, I'm not going to go on. It's dangerous to go with frozen brakes onto the interstate, frozen brakes on my long trailer. He's in the cab, and he calls in for a repair. Gets the dispatcher. Dispatcher says, well, wait. Hang on there. We'll wait for it. Okay, a couple hours goes by. The heater is not working in his cab. It's 14 below zero. 14 below zero. He calls in, and he says, my feet, I can't feel them. I can't feel my feet. My torso, I'm beginning not to be able to feel my torso. And they say, hang on, wait for us. Okay, now he actually falls asleep. And at 1:18 a.m., his cousin, I think, calls him and wakes him up. And his cousin says that he is slurring his speech and he doesn't make much sense. Now, Mayo Clinic in Minnesota says that is hypothermia. And he had fallen asleep. If you fall asleep waiting under 14 below zero weather, you can freeze to death. You can die. He calls him back, and his supervisor says, wait. You got to wait. So he has a couple choices here. Wait or take the trailer out with the frozen brakes onto the interstate. Now, when those brakes are locked and you're pulling that load on a trailer with its brakes locked, you can go maybe, 10, 15 miles an hour? Now, what's that like on an interstate? Say you're going 75 miles an hour. Someone's going 75 miles an hour. They come over a hill and slam into that trailer. Also, he's got hypothermia. He's a little woozy. You can't fire a guy for doing that. There were two safety issues here. One, the possibility of freezing to death or driving with that rig in a very, very very dangerous way. Which would you have chosen? Which would you have done, Judge?
Oh, Senator, I don't know what I would have done if I were in his shoes, and I don't blame him at all for a moment for doing what he did do. I empathize with him entirely.
Okay, we've been talking about this case. You haven't decided what you would have done? You haven't thought about for a second what you would have done in
Senator,
his case?
I thought a lot about this case.
What would you have done?
I totally empathize and understand.
I'm asking you a question. Please answer questions.
Senator, I don't know. I wasn't in the man's shoes, but I understand
why he did. You don't know what you would have done. Okay, I tell you what I would have done. I would have done exactly what he did.
Yeah, I understand.
And I think everybody here would have done exactly what he did. And I think that's an easy answer. Frankly, I don't know why he had difficulty answering that. Okay, so you decide to write a thing in dissent, if you read your dissent, you don't say it was like sub-zero. You say it was cold out. The facts that you describe in your dissent are very minimal. But here's the law that, and you go to the language of the law, and you talk about that. I go to the law. A person may not discharge an employee who refuses to operate a vehicle because the employee has reasonable apprehension of serious injury to the employee or the public because of the vehicle's hazardous safety or security condition. That's the law. And you decided that they had the right to fire him, even though this law says you may not discharge an employee who refuses to operate a vehicle, because he did operate the vehicle. Is that right? That's how you decided, right?
That's the gist of it.
Well, no. Is that how you decided? That's what you decided,
Senator,
right?
There are a lot of more words in the opinions, both in the majority by my colleagues and in dissent, but that I'm happy to agree with you. That's the gist of it.
Right. Well, that's what you've said. And I'm not a lawyer, but I've been on this committee for about 8 years, and I've paid some attention. So I know that what you're talking about here is the plain meaning rule. Here's what the rule means. When the plain meaning of a statute is clear on its face, when its meaning is obvious, courts have no business looking beyond the meaning to the statute's purpose. And that's what you used, right?
That's what was argued to us by both sides, Senator.
But that's what you used.
Yeah, both sides argued that the plain meaning supported their interpretation.
And you used it to come to your conclusion.
But both sides.
But the plain meaning rule has an exception. When using the plain meaning rule would create an absurd result, courts should depart from the plain meaning. It is absurd to say this company is in its rights to fire him because he made the choice of possibly dying from freezing to death or causing other people to die possibly by driving an unsafe vehicle. That's absurd. Now, I had a career in identifying absurdity. And I know it when I see it. And it makes me, it makes me question your judgment.
My thanks to Keith Olbermann for creating the foundation for this episode with his Resistance. Thank you also Gilda Radner as Emily Latella from SNL. Great screenwriter, playwright Patty Chayefsky for Network. And the equally great writer, novelist Jerzy Kaczynski for being there. And as always, thank you for being here every Thursday and 24/7 on JuicedTalk.com. Resist.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.